Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings out there, my dear listeners. It is I, William Powell, the king of DC media, the undisputed, the undefeated, the untouchable host of Inside Acting. Thanks for tuning into the show. Tonight, I've got a guest who, in his 7 years in the business, has been a sheriff, a detective, a crazed hitman. I'm talking about Mr. Paul R. Sieber, and I see he has joined us.
How are you tonight?
This is Sean Connery. Welcome to Inside Acting.
That would be a fantastic experience for Paul, I can tell you that.
How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Hey, man, thanks for coming on. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight.
Absolutely.
Yes. So before we plunge into your prodigious list of credits, tell me how you guys started acting.
Well, actually, I did a lot of theater back in college, back in the days before computers when they had stone knives and bearskins. And I got out of it for quite a few years, about 7 years.
Where did you go to college?
I went to Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
And I did some radio, and I did some stage work there. After high school, I did some stage work as well, mostly just the stage and some radio work. And about 7 or 8 years ago, I met some folks in upstate New York who were doing a fan web series for Star Trek called Star Trek Phase 2. And I met them at a science fiction convention, which I hadn't gone to in years, and for some lark, I had just gone to it. And they said, hey, why don't you come up and give us a hand? And at the time, I said, you know, what the heck, what can I do for you? And the best thing I could offer them at that time was some carpentry skills to help build some sets. And I went up there, and I helped them work with some stuff behind the scenes and so forth. And I met another man in the D.C. area named John Broughton, who had the idea of doing another Star Trek fan film series called Starship Farragut. And he was looking for somebody to help him produce the show and put it together. So I got together with him, and I wrote and produced a pilot episode, and I wrote this character for myself called Lieutenant Prescott. I thought it would be interesting in a Star Trek-type series to see someone who was a military character. And we produced that, and then I went back up to New York, and I did some work with the Star Trek Phase 2 folks. I had great opportunities up there for any Star Trek fans who might be listening. I got to work with Walter Koenig. I got to work with Rich Takei. I got to work with Denise Crosby and a few other Star Trek celebrities. So it was a pretty fun experience working with them.
Wow.
And after I thought, I was interested in being a filmmaker, especially with the stuff I was doing with Farragut, with producing and writing, directing, and so forth. And what I discovered with most of the producing and writing, directing stuff was that wasn't my, it wasn't as much as my cup of tea. But one thing that really got me going was being in front of the camera. So I put my emphasis back into that. I went back and started taking some acting classes again and, trying to learn and found out that, that the DMV area has just an amazing independent cinema to it here with independent films. And so the opportunities were really there. So, I did a few on the big Hollywood stuff. I did, did some extra work at a few of those projects up to the point where I was actually on the wire for HBO. I played a court officer, U.S. Marshal in a couple of episodes for them. I think in one episode I can see my rear end, and another episode I actually found myself, which was kind of the, that was the most exciting thing there was on HBO. Hey, that's me. I was on screen for about 3 minutes. So, but for the most part, I said, I kind of bowed out of the extra thing, and because the indie community in this area is so strong, I decided really instead of spending my time, you know, going for these roles, you know, when a big production comes into the district, and for the most part, when they come into our areas, they pretty much are pre-cast. They're not looking for a lot of actors. They're mostly looking for background. Instead of putting my emphasis and time into that and trying to get those kind of roles, even though they were paying, I really said, you know, I'm doing this for the love of acting. I would rather do an indie film that really gets me going for less to no money and get the opportunity to act. So I really put my emphasis into that, and I got to know a lot of the local film producers in the area, and plenty of auditions. As a matter of fact, I just had an audition I just had to record at home and send in about half an hour ago. And so I started doing a lot of that kind of work, and I've had the wonderful opportunity of portraying a variety of different characters in so many films. I really consider myself more of a character actor, and it's just been a really wonderful experience.
I'm looking at your credits here, man. Now, who's busier than you? I mean, what haven't you done? How do you juggle all your projects?
Well, you know, it's been one of those things where it's been a lot of prioritization. You know, trying to fit in. I have an extremely wonderful and understanding wife, who knows how important this stuff is to me. So she, you know, works with me to work my schedule out. I've been in the same my day job. I've been at the same company for well over a decade, so I do get a decent amount of vacation time from that, and I use my vacation time. And a lot of the indie filmmakers in this area, not all, but a lot of them, I hate to say it, but they have day jobs as well. So a lot of this work can be oriented toward evening work, weekend work. So I don't always have to take a huge amount of work off to do some of these projects. Matter of fact, I'm doing a movie right now with a gentleman named Derek Gray. And I did a film for him last year called Pretty Brown Eyes, which was based on his best-selling novel. And he's doing another film this year called 25 Years. I have a bit of a notably bigger part in this new film, but Derek films primarily on weekends. So I'm able to work with Derek and work out a schedule over, you know, say, 6 or 7 different weekends total to get my time in what we need to do on the film. So it's really, you know, it depends upon the film, but it's one of those things where when you really like doing something, you make the time. And I love to act. I absolutely love to perform. So whatever it takes, I make the time to get out there. I think the thing that's probably most time-consuming is the audition.
Yeah.
You know, because you're just, you know, you're trying to get leads, and you know, a lot of the auditions, you know, I live in Virginia, and a lot of the projects are done, you know, a lot of the projects that you're auditioning for up in, say, Baltimore. So you don't have to get up to there, you know, and it might be sitting there after work trying to ride through traffic to get to Baltimore to get to an audition by 6:30. And so sometimes that can be more tough than actually getting the filming schedule, because once I have a filming schedule, okay, I'll take these 2 days off, I got this weekend here. That's easier to work out the calendar sometimes than the auditions are.
Wow. You know, I've narrowed down your projects to the ones you just got to talk about before you leave here tonight. So tell me what you liked about these roles. I'm going to give them to you 2 at a time.
Sure.
Talk about the Major Domo and Ninjas versus Vampires and Billy Moss and Henchman's War.
Well, you know, those were actually 2 really great projects I was so lucky to be cast in. Ninjas versus Vampires is the first film that I did that has a real big public distribution. Matter of fact, you can, if anybody of the listeners are interested, you can get it on Netflix. So don't hesitate to go watch the film. Matter of fact, they just made the 3rd film in the trilogy called Ninjas versus Monsters. I have a small cameo in that one, not a big part, because obviously I had a larger part in Vampires. But It was a really great character to play, because this guy was just a very dark, very depressing kind of character. Whereas with Billy Moss in Henchman's War, the fun part of playing a character like Billy was Billy's nuts. this is a guy with a couple of screws loose. So two darker films. Ninja for Vampires has a lot of humor in it. But I was playing a dark character in that, whereas Henchman's War is a very dark film. And I play a kind of a more of a humorous character in that, because Billy's just absolutely doesn't have an off button. So it was really, really, you know, fantastic to play both of those characters.
Wow, so it sounded like that character had a real screw loose there.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, as an actor, you know, you look for something different than a role you're playing to really give you something to bite onto. And I hadn't played a character that was like Billy Moss before, so it was really terrific to get out there and just kind of let it out. I mean, this is a guy with an incredibly short temper and ready to pull the trigger at the drop of a hat. So you know, it was a really fun role. It really was a fun role.
Sounds exciting.
Oh, absolutely.
I had a couple other roles here. Your role in Bases Loaded in Sheriff Walker and Ghoul Society.
Ghoul Society is a film. They're doing some post-production work on that. It's for a young filmmaker in the area named Wade Brown. I'm actually going to be doing another film for him coming up called Girl Trouble, which is a horror comedy. And I got a small role in that one. That was kind of fun because, you know, when I used to get cast, when I first started doing a lot of the professional acting and I was doing a lot of the extra work, that was one of the things I got consistently cast as: police officer, military guy, you know, sheriff, those kind of roles. So it was kind of interesting to go and take one of those type of positions that I had been an extra in so many times and actually get to do something with it. So, but Walker's a very straight-laced guy, very serious. And he's trying to solve a series of killings in the community. So it was good. And I got to do a really interesting fight scene with three guys in that one. So that should be fun to see that one put together. Now, Bases Loaded was my return to stage. I haven't been on stage in 26 years, and so that was actually the first live work I've done since college. And a gentleman I worked on a film with called Law and Disorder, which was a comedy film I did a couple of years ago, had written this one-man show about his experiences. He had four sons, about his experiences with them in Little League, from him being a kid playing Little League to coaching them and seeing the other parents and so forth. And he had put together more kind of like a little more of an R-rated thing, but then came up with the idea that, if we made this a little more family-friendly, this is something you could maybe even use as a fundraiser in conjunction with, you know, Little League associations and so forth. So we rewrote the script to make it suit my style a little bit more and also to make it more family-friendly. And it was a one-man show, which was it. Not only did I jump back into stage, I jumped back into stage by myself, which was probably the biggest challenge of all of that. You don't have anybody to play off of. I mean, you've got a 65, 70-page script, and you have to know the whole darn thing. And you know, you can't help, if he gives me my feeder line, I'll remember the next line. It's like, that's not going to happen. You know, but it's great. It's very humorous. It was a lot of fun to do. We did that. We did two shows in July. And we've actually been talking to, we had a person from another theater group actually came to the show. And they're talking to us right now about the possibility of doing a four-week run in the spring. So you may see Bases Loaded pop back up again. So we'll see what happens. So keep my fingers crossed. But I really enjoyed performing in front of an audience. It had been a while. I would probably do more stage work, but as you mentioned before, you know, with the time constraints involved in acting, having a day job and having a family, stage work is a lot more time consuming. So, I put probably 4 months doing nothing but Bases Loaded, you know, in the rehearsals and the prep for that. So, you know, it's definitely a lot more involved, you know. And if you do a 4 week run, I'd be performing this, you know, 4 days a week for 16 shows, you know, in 4 weeks. So that would be, you know, that would be pretty much, you can't be doing much of anything else. So it's really wonderful to be in front of a live audience. At the same time, you know, at my current point right now, it's tough for me to do a lot of stage work. Although, I got to say, if the opportunity comes up for another thing like Bases Loaded, I think I might have to jump on it.
Yeah, I mean, theater is very enriching. It's different than film, and I think it's, in a lot of ways, it's a higher art form.
It is, because, you know, when you sit out there, and, you know, you say you do Bases Loaded, we put that, as you know from talking to me before, I like to do a lot of character voices and so forth. So we kind of incorporated that into the Bases Loaded play. So as I'm talking about these different coaches, different parents and so forth, you know, I give them the different character voices and so forth that I like to do. And you know, when I would break into one of the character voices, and then the audience would, you know, you could hear the laugh, you could feel it, you could feel that energy, you know, right from those people at any moment. You know, it's great to go to a film premiere, and for example, I was in a film called The Garden of Eden, which is nominated for, I think, 9 awards at an upcoming horror film festival. And in that film, I played a comic relief character of Alan, who's a guy whose girlfriend is a mannequin. And I don't mean she's cold. I mean, she's an actual mannequin, which he talks to like it's a living person. So it's a very dark movie. And I play basically the comic relief. And so when I went to the premiere of the film, and I would come on screen, and I'm talking to the mannequin like it's a person. Deborah, by the way, was her name. And I could hear the audience. It was great because you get that feedback from the audience saying, oh, they're enjoying the character I played. So much not that same experience you have, you know, when you're doing that live, you know, and you're getting it right as you're performing. It's great to see them watching me and they're laughing. But to feel it as I'm saying it, you know, it's incredibly rewarding. It really is, you know. So, I mean, you know, who knows, you know, like I said, who knows what the future holds for stage work. But you know, my main emphasis is definitely film, television work and some voiceover. So we're going to keep going and, you know, keep trying to push the envelope a little bit, see what else we can do.
Huh. So you got to talk to a chick who was literally a mannequin. I mean, from what I hear about some of those girls out in L.A., I don't know, is that the...
Well, you know, I've actually met some actresses that had probably less personality than that mannequin did. So, you know, I've actually worked with actors and actresses probably that were tougher to work with than the mannequin was. She didn't talk back, you know, so that was probably the best thing about it. But she didn't seem to remember her lines, so, you know, I had to keep working with her.
Yeah. She didn't nag either.
No, she didn't.
Okay.
Actually, the mannequin was actually kind of interesting. One of the producers of the film had told me that they had purchased this Victorian mannequin from Anne Rice, the writer of Interview with the Vampire.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
It was pretty fun.
I don't even want to think about what Anne Rice would do with a mannequin.
I have no idea. Definitely.
It's Halloween's a few weeks off, people, so let's just move on. Let's just keep it flowing.
Absolutely.
So Paul, so now, do you consider yourself an actor who acts or an actor who wants to be famous?
I consider myself an actor who acts. That's a great question, though, by the way. If I just wanted to get screen time and just get a paycheck, and I know I'm not saying this is no insult to any actor who does anything extra work or anything like that to get a paycheck, but believe me, I have nothing but the utmost respect. I do have the benefit of having a job that pays my bills. So to me, I'm acting for one reason, and that's because I love to act. If I could make a full-time career out of it, that would be great. Is that likely? Probably not. You know, I'm very realistic in that one, but it does not mean that I won't keep pushing for it. I mean, it doesn't mean that I'm going to stop, you know, trying to get to that level. I will always push my craft. I will always push myself. I do consider myself a professional actor. I am a paid actor. I have my SAG eligibility. I've done SAG work, so, you know, I'm on with that kind of a thing as well. But I have the benefit, like I said, of having, you know, a paid job outside of my acting that, A, is a time constraint on the acting, but the other thing that you get out of it is the opportunity to say, I can be pickier. And I'm going to take roles that are going to be fun. I'm going to take roles that are going to be challenging to me. I'm going to use acting because I love to perform. I love to act. So this would be great, but it's mostly about just it's the craft, it's the art. I just love to do it.
What was your most challenging role?
Well, actually, my most challenging role is in a film. I jumped back into the producing chair. I'm working on a film with a gentleman named Dennis Bailey. He wrote a couple of episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation. Probably the one he's best known for is an episode called Tin Man, which is considered one of their best stories that they ever did. They won a couple of awards for that. And Dennis had always had the idea of wanting to do an independent sci-fi movie that was kind of a bit of a throwback to science fiction of the 1950s. Not in the hokey sense, but in the sense that it's not about action-adventure. It's more about character and people. And he wrote a screenplay called Polaris. And I got involved with him pretty early on when he showed me the screenplay, and he wanted me to play the captain, Sam Fredericks. And it was the lead role in the film, so obviously, as the lead, you're carrying the film, so that's, you know, a challenge number one. But
right.
The other thing, too, was to play Sam Fredericks, I wanted to think, and Dennis and I both agreed, that I wanted to get outside that box that you don't really see in science fiction. I didn't want Captain Fredericks to be Kirk. I didn't want him to be one of these typical science fiction spaceship captains you see in movies. They're swashbuckler guys, and they get the gal, and they're all macho and all that kind of stuff. I didn't want him to be that. I want him to be a regular guy who is stuck in this war and extraordinary circumstances. They really shouldn't be there. He's not a military man. He doesn't have that experience. The reason he's captain of the ship is he owned the ship before the war, and when he volunteered at the service, they told him he had to stay in charge. So this is a fish out of water in a lot of ways. And
right.
So getting to play him, and then we had built this subtext into the story about a relationship with him and another crewmate and so forth. I don't want to give much of the film away. And it was a really strong challenge to kind of play him because I had to play him subtle.
Hmm.
And subtle is harder than playing big. You know, I don't want to say it's easy to cry or it's easy to laugh. It isn't. But to get a soft emotion across just with a look or with one simple word or without a word is probably an even bigger challenge. And Sam Fredericks was all of those things. So he was a very challenging character to play. At the same time, because I was on early with the production, I was also working as a producer for the film. And somehow Dennis cornered me into becoming the casting director. So I ended up actually bringing most of the cast together, other than just a couple of castmates that he had put together. We actually had a gentleman named Nick Cook that came over from Scotland to play the first officer. So you hear the Scottish accent on him, it's real.
We're Scottish people.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times you always hear that fake Scottish accent. It's like Nick's was real, you know. So, but so, you know, kind of doubling on that and also working with Dennis, actually, when we built the command deck set in a warehouse space in Fort Washington, Maryland, a little warehouse space that he rented, and we built this absolutely magnificent command deck set. It's amazing. It's amazing to see. It's amazing what you can get at Home Depot. but it's just this really wonderful set. And in the middle of set construction, my gallbladder went out, and I ended up 3 weeks before the film's getting ready to film, I ended up in the hospital losing my gallbladder. So
good.
Now I'm back trying to film this film. I'm still not 100%, but I can't make Sam Fredericks look like he just got out of the hospital losing his gallbladder. So it became an even bigger chance. Here I am trying to play this subtle character, trying to play this very different guy, this very deep, very emotional person, and I'm not all there, you know. So it was like challenge after challenge after challenge, all in the same film. So so we're in post-production right now, and we're looking forward probably, I'm going to say, at the earliest, maybe first quarter next year. So post-production on science fiction, particularly when it's low budget and everyone's basically working on a percentage of the film, meaning it's not always first priority.
Right.
You know, the paid stuff goes first. So you're spending a lot of time to get the effects work together. And some of the effects work is pretty complicated.
Huh.
So the end result will be something that looks like a very expensive film and is a very wonderful story, and I'm really looking forward to having it out for the audience. But the post-production is taking a bit longer. So hopefully in the long run, it will be worth the wait. I think it will. I'm extremely proud of the film. My first real lead role. So that was pretty exciting as well. I played supporting characters and guest characters, but this was my first true lead role. So I'm really looking forward to getting out there.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's very exciting. And like I said, it's going to be a terrific looking film.
We've got about 5 minutes to go. So tell me, what do you like about producing?
What do I like about producing? Well, I think, you know, as an actor, producing gives me the opportunity to help put together a film that the way I want to see it. when you're acting on the film, you're just in the secondary part of the film, you don't always have the opportunity to make the decisions on the overall look of the movie. You don't always have the opportunity to make a decision on how the rest of the cast puts them out there, how things are lit, how they look, and so forth. So when you are producing the film, you have a lot more say-so in how the overall film is put together and how you work with the other actors, you know, who the other actors may be, you know, how these things are put together. You have a lot more say-so in the overall end result of the film. And I think that's probably the plus to acting. Plus, a lot of producers like myself, I think a lot of times we get involved with the producing because there's something that we want to do, maybe a screenplay that we have had someone we've worked with has put together. And, you know, one of the ways we can get that role that we've wanted to do so badly is to actually produce the film, you know, and actually get it out there. So, I mean, that's all the time you're producing the film, it's a role you wanted to do, you know, so and that's a way to get the film completed.
So what's next for you, man?
Well, I've got a lot of stuff on the plate right now, all good things. I've mentioned Derek Ray's film 25 Years, which I'm filming right now, and
okay.
And Wade Brown's Girl Trouble, which I'll be working on shortly. I've also got a small role in Matt Cloud's Night of the Living Dead Genesis, which is a remake of Night of the Living Dead. He actually has the original Barbara back in the original film playing Barbara's mother in his remake. So it's a pretty good film. I play a blind priest. So I haven't been on set yet. I'm still waiting for my shooting date for that one, but it'll be a fun role. I've got another film that I'll be doing in November for Alex Kane called Exit, which is a bit of a dark thriller. So I'm looking forward to that, and I have one of the main roles in that film. And I get to work with Mr. John Bailey, who's one of my favorite local actors.
Oh, yeah, we got the chance to work with him.
A terrific guy, and he's just aces to work with, too.
What's the word on split personality? I got to stand over
your... I just finished that up before my live show. I know that June and Connie are in post-production on the film now.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. I know that they had a rewrite of the script by Eric Myers. I actually just did a couple of commercials for Eric Myers, actually. A lot of your listeners are probably familiar with him. He's a writer, producer, director of an award-winning local film called Roulette.
Yeah, he's been
actually
on the
just
show.
Done, he's, yeah, he's absolutely terrific. And
yes,
I just did a couple of commercial projects for him. One is actually already on the internet, and the other one is in post-production right now. So I'm looking forward to that, and for that commercial to come out. And one other project I do have lined up also with Matt Cloud is the Night of the Living Dead Genesis. I'll be doing for him shooting next year. He's doing a remake of Herbert West, The Reanimator. So I'm kind of doing a little bit of a venture into some of the horror stuff here a little bit. So it should be kind of fun. I'm actually playing West's assistant, the narrator of the film. So I'm actually playing the lead role of the film there. So that should be pretty interesting. Matt's a terrific director, so I'm really looking forward to working with him on that. But that's the stuff I have locked down right now. I've got four or five other potential things in the next 6 to 8 months lined up as well. And commercial stuff kind of comes up in between. Just like I said, I had a commercial audition today. And what's nice with the commercial stuff is those tend to be ones that you do a nice paycheck for. So you never, you know, good opportunities there. So don't turn those down. But I've got a couple of those, you know, a couple of those possibilities coming through too, and a couple other films. Also looking with the folks that I'm friends with that did the Star Trek with up in New York, Star Trek Phase 2. We filmed the first half, and probably sometime next year we'll be filming the second half of the reboot or return to Back to the Wild Wild West, the old 1960 television show.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So we're doing a episode as if it was the next season of the Wild Wild West, going back to the Wild Wild West, Night of the Golden Spike. And James Colley is actually playing Jim West in that, and I'm playing Artemis Gordon, which was an actor who was it was a great character role for me because it's a character who's an actor who's playing characters. So you're a character playing different characters. So
yeah, you're good at that.
Yeah, and that's, you know, so I got the chance to, you know, to play Artemis Gordon, but then to play Artemis Gordon playing someone else. So that's a real fun film, and hopefully we'll be finishing that up sometime next year as well. So, and like I said, there's There's a lot of other stuff. I've got in post-production, Dylan Henson did a nice short film that I did with him called Bite the Hand, where I also play a hitman, but not quite the Billy Moss type. This guy's more on the lines of a Clint Eastwood type. And I did a project with Lee Dahl recently called The Fixer, where I took over the role for Brian St. August did the role originally.
Yes.
In the first Fixer episode, and I took over the role in the second episode. So, and that's available on DVD as well.
We are coming up on about 20 seconds. Man, I just want to thank you so much again for coming on the show.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. I really enjoyed it, and anytime you want to have me back, I'm sure there's a million more things I could think to talk about.
Man, you're a great talent, man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
All right. Adios, amigo.
Well, you take care. You take care of yourself. Thank you very much.
I'll do that.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. And I just want to tell all my listeners out there to do something for their career every day and break a leg.
This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty large black bags.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.